Welcome to the Peeries and Power Moves podcast with me, your host, Vianney Lee. This show is here to inspire, empower, and activate you to discover the power of your menstrual cycle and how to use your unlimited power to heal yourself on all levels of your mind, body, soul, and spirit. I know you're wondering, for what purpose? Well, I used to suffer from severe PMS and PMDD, and when I started to notice that my cycle was my superpower, everything changed. I'm a menstrual cycle alignment guide, master practitioner, and energy healer, standing fearlessly in my activated womb power, aiming to challenge and disrupt the status quo of menstruation and feminine energy. Join me weekly on this show where I'm talking about all things menstrual cycles, womb awakenings, energy healing, spirituality, human design, the subconscious mind, feminine leadership, success, sex, and spirituality. If you've been taught that productivity is how you're valued and considered worthy, if you've been disconnected from your body, intuition, and spirit, and you're ready to journey back to yourself, if you have energy draining cycle problems, feel dissatisfied with your life, business, and relationships, and want to trust your body, even if you have been able to in the past, this is your sign. You are the kind of soul that I serve with my full, open, and whole heart. I invite you to journey with me. Let's rise. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Peeries and Power Moves podcast with me, Vianney Lee. And today I've got a very special guest joining us to talk about one of my favorite topics. I'm so excited to share this episode because it's all about astrology. Now, some of you may know I am obsessed with astrology. I have been from a very young age. Like, I used to get the newspapers and the magazines and read all of my horoscopes, like, religiously, and then want to read everyone else's horoscopes, and I'd want to find out the horoscope of anyone I ever met. Literally obsessed. But over the past couple of years, I've been taking astrology a lot more seriously, studying it a little bit more, having readings, and the guest that we have on today is the wonderful Courtney from Willow's Bloom, and she is actually my personal astrologer. So earlier on this year, I think I might have spoken about this a little bit, but I had a 2.5 hour reading with Courtney, all about my year ahead, the transit I would be experiencing this year, a little bit about my past life story, everything, like all of where my houses are, and the most incredible reading. I was flabbergasted after it because Courtney actually said to me, Vianney, I'm so glad that you booked in for this reading because you have a lot of transits happening at the beginning of this year. And lo and behold, shit got pretty real because in January, one of the transits happened, in February, one of the transits happened, and in March, one of the transits happened. So I am just super, super excited to share this episode and for you to listen into Courtney's wisdom about astrology, because I have not met anyone who describes and explains astrology the way that she does, in a way that's so clear and easy to understand and relatable. So after spending many, many years of her life, Courtney dedicated her life to actually teaching English online and traveling around the world. And then she made a huge pivot to focus on her work on the language of the stars. I just think that sounds so beautiful as well. The language of the stars is what astrology is. So throughout those years, astrology has been a tool that Courtney's used to help her get through breakups, understand her fuller self, and predict events that would impact her life. Like, when you listen to this episode, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So listen in as we discuss what astrology is, how to use astrology as a guide to your life's journey and your life's purpose, and how you can also use it to understand the people in your life a lot better. So some key things you're going to learn in this episode is how astrology can help you find your purpose, like, duh. Why the planets can help you understand more about yourself, how the planets are actually cyclical. So listen in as we talk about how the planets are cyclical and how this can actually affect you and your cycle, the effect astrology can have on your relationships, and how where the planets in your houses, and she's going to explain what houses are, can help you to understand so much more about yourself. So I personally loved recording this episode, talking to Courtney. We have such a great connection, and I know you're going to love it as well. So listen in. Let me know what you think of this episode. Take a screenshot, tag at Willows Bloom, that's Courtney, and me at statusflow.co to let us know what you think of this episode. And if you're interested in finding out more about astrology, then definitely check out Courtney. All of the details are in the show notes. I'm not going to say anything else. I want you to listen to it. Enjoy this episode. I'll see you on the flip side. This episode is sponsored by my free masterclass, The Power of Your Menstrual Cycle, 5 Ways to Replace Pain with Creativity, Aligned Productivity, and Peace. Now, ask yourself, what would be possible for you if you could learn how to replace pain for peace, creativity, and productivity in a way that feels so good, so rich, so nourishing, aligned and sustainable to your unique rhythm, flow, and cosmic design? Because in this masterclass, you are going to learn why you need to stop dreading your period for good and what actually happens when you do. The simple model I've created for creating symptom-free cycles that gives you pain-free, peaceful, and productive periods, and the number one mindset shift that will blow your mind and get you living more intentionally with the power of your cycle. So if that sounds like it's up your street, something that feels like it's definitely resonating for you or calling you, then I want you to head to the show notes and just click on the link where it says watch my free on-demand masterclass. So click the link and you'll be able to watch it instantly. So enjoy, and let's get started with today's episode. So hello, Courtney. We've got Courtney from Willows Bloom today on the Periods and Power Moves podcast. And as you've already heard in the intro, like, I am so excited to speak to Courtney because I can say this very proudly, but she's like my personal astrologer. She's helped me so much. And this year I had a 2-hour reading with her at the beginning of the year, which she told me she was so glad that I did reach out, because all the major things in my life would happen in the first 3 months of the first year of this year. So I'm super excited to introduce Courtney to the podcast. Courtney, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm super stoked to be here.
Honestly, like, it is actually my pleasure. I don't think you realize how excited I am to talk to you. Like, astrology has been something that I've always been interested in from such a young age, but just like basic stuff, just like reading my horoscopes in a magazine. But the older I've got, the more I've got into it. And I feel like it's been a very useful tool in my life. So this is why I wanted to get you on the podcast, to have everyone kind of like sample a piece of this magic and see if they can possibly use astrology in their life, in their business as well. So why don't we get started with me asking you a couple of questions about, I do this with most of my guests, but I want to know how you're honoring yourself, respecting yourself, and celebrating yourself today.
Ooh, I love that. You're going deep straight away. I like that. You know, we were talking about this before we hit record, but I've been honoring myself lately by really holding strong boundaries in relationships. I've always been like kind of a people pleaser. If you know anything about astrology, Libra makes up a lot of my first house, which is a lot about, you know, that makes me a person that thinks a lot about other people, what makes them happy. And a lot of times I would self-sacrifice in order to make the relationship thrive. But really, I've come to terms with the fact that it's okay to be a little cutthroat. It's okay to be a little savage and hold your ground. And I feel like it feels a little bit scary when you first move into that energy of like, okay, no, I'm not going to accept this. I'm not going to have this friendship if you're going to treat me like that. And so that's really what I've been moving through these last couple of weeks, is realizing, you know, what I deserve and my worth and holding my ground. And I think not overly relying on my compassion, because I can be very, very understanding about why people act the way that they do. And I think what I've realized now is that I can still be understanding, but not tolerate it in my life. And I think that's really what I've been learning, and just showing myself a lot of love through those actions.
Oh, I love that. The minute you started talking, I was just nodding my head, because I was just having a conversation yesterday with my husband about people pleasing. And just when you have that moment of realization that you've been a people pleaser, it's like a moment of enlightenment, isn't it? You're like, whoa, like, yeah, I'm so grateful that I am aware of this, but I'm not going to tolerate this anymore.
Yes. And it's uncomfortable. You know, I think people should realize that when you've been living in one extreme, it can feel like you're being mean or aggressive. If you suddenly start holding your boundaries, people will be surprised. But I think it's just, it's so new that it's just, it feels so foreign. And I think that's just important to keep in mind as you're moving through this. It's going to be uncomfortable to start acting differently.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People will feel a bit taken aback by you holding boundaries if they're so used to kind of just you saying yes all the time.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's super important. And yeah, what a great way to be honoring yourself at the moment. And to continue to honor yourself that way.
Thank you.
So whilst we, actually, I had a question, but another question popped into my head, which I think I should just jump in with, because you said having Libra in your chart. So what I think would be really nice for everyone to know is, first of all, your sun, your moon, and your rising. And also if you could explain what sun, moon, and rising actually means, because when I ask this question sometimes on the podcast, I normally ask it at the end of the podcast, some people only know their sun sign. Mm-hmm. So if you can explain what that is and what that means, that would be amazing. And then share what yours is.
Yeah. Okay. So basically when you're born, you can pretty much just look up at the sky and take a picture. And if you could have a huge lens, you could see where all the planets were and in what constellations they were. So we all know that there's all the different zodiac signs. Those actually relate to, you know, the constellations in the sky. So if I say I'm a Gemini, it's because the sun was in the constellation of Gemini when I was born. So that can give me some information about myself, but we have so many more planets, and we also have something called houses, which I'll probably talk about later. And that gives us a lot more information on top of that. So the sun has a lot to do with our purpose and our self-actualization. It does hold a lot of personality traits and represents kind of like the underlying desire and kind of blueprint of our soul in a way. The rising sign is a little bit complicated to explain. It's a lot easier to do it visually, but it's basically the constellation that was rising on the east when you were born. So I'm a Virgo rising. And this has a lot to do with your purpose as well. And it kind of has a lot to do with the way that you interact with the world, the way that you show up. And sometimes people say it's like the way that the world sees you, but I think it's more so how you kind of display yourself energetically. Mm-hmm. And the planet that is ruling or connected to that sign also has a lot to do with your purpose and your personality as well. So these are just adding lots of layers. I mean, obviously you'd probably have to have kind of like a mini course to go deep into this, but if you know anything about your rising sign, I encourage you to look up what planet rules that and find that in your chart. And then the moon is, again, it's in a constellation when you're born, and it has a lot to do with your emotions, your what you need to feel satisfied, what you need to feel safe. And I don't really see people following their moon for their career. It's what they follow for friends. It's how they interact with people on an emotional level. So it's really what kind of satiates us. And my moon is in Capricorn.
My moon is in Capricorn too.
So you know the struggle.
I know the struggle, girl. And when you said that you're Virgo rising, so I've got Virgo, my sun sign is Virgo.
Yes, that's probably why we get along so well.
Like, literally, like I've known you my whole life.
I know. The first time I talked to you, I was like, wow, she just gives me energy. And a lot of people take away energy, but you give it, which is so beautiful.
I feel the exact same way about you, honestly. Like, I leave our conversation just like, like, just buzz
it. Me too. We need to meet up in person one day.
I know. So with that being said, why don't you share a little bit about your company, Willows Bloom, what it all means, how you fell into this type of work, and, you know, what is it about astrology that gets you out of bed in the morning?
Oh, everything. I love astrology. And yeah, I think it was just totally meant for me. I spent many years teaching English. I have lived abroad a lot and have interacted a lot with foreigners. And I loved teaching languages. I loved learning languages. But what I started to notice is that I kind of would act like a therapist to my students and be like, trying to go deep and ask what's going on in their lives. And I mean, they were nice, but you could tell they were like, okay, like, let's just have you do your job and, you know, stay in the box. And I realized it just wasn't satiating part of my soul to only have like the intellectual side and not the emotional and spiritual side of things. And I was like, what can I do to bring all these things together? And I was thinking about it and I didn't really have any answers. It just kind of fell into my lap as I began to follow my interests. And I think this is a huge misconception about, you know, finding your purpose and like your life's work. I think your purpose and your life's work, first of all, can change. Mm-hmm. It can adapt over time. And I also feel like there are so many layers to it. Like, I look at somebody's chart and I can see, okay, what they're doing now fits into their purpose, but there are many other things that would fit into it, maybe even better. So I feel like learning languages and teaching languages definitely fit my chart and my purpose, but this fits it even better. And especially because astrology is a language, it's a language of the stars. So it's been so powerful because it allows me to use the other sides of myself that are very much emotionally based, kind of like therapeutic in a way where people can open up to me and I can give them reassurance and validation about how they feel, as well as kind of pointing them to their gifts and what they should further explore and giving them the sense of self-confidence. And it fills me up so much. And if I can have an impact on one person by doing this work, then I'm just so happy to do so. So yeah, I pretty much just started following the breadcrumbs and I took a course here and did this there. And I started off Willows Bloom thinking it would be self-care for entrepreneurs, because I've always been really obsessed with business. And it kind of just like took off with the astrology. I think I knew deep down that it would have a lot to do with astrology, but yeah, it sort of started focusing on that. And really what my goal is to help women find and live their purpose. And I specifically am really interested in helping people, you know, entrepreneurs, but there are different phases of that. Like, I don't want to just help entrepreneurs. I want to help people like of all walks of life find what interests them. And the purpose doesn't have to be career either. It can be literally anything. It could be following your art. And you can see that in someone's chart. Sometimes you can see their career is just supporting what their true purpose is, which might be something totally outside of career. And so I think that's like the biggest misconception as well. So I really just want to support people through that process.
Oh my God. So many things you said there. I was just like, oh, I really want to talk, but I'm just going to let her come. I think it's so important that you just highlighted the fact that with finding your purpose, it's not just about your career. And this is something that a lot of people kind of get caught up in and they get overwhelmed by and confused by, because they think they should be finding their purpose to what they're going to do in their life for the rest of their life. But it's like, no, we're not here to do just one thing. We are constantly evolving, growing, changing. And, you know, I remember one thing that you said to me when you were going through my chart, and I actually forgot to mention this to you off air, but you said the way that I work with one-on-one clients is going to change, or I'm going to kind of rethink that. And I thought it was all to do with the one-on-one clients that I have right now with Status Flow, but it's actually my previous one-on-one clients that I used to work with in the makeup industry. That's coming back into my life now. And it's like, yes, like we're not going to continue to stay the same. Like what you were doing with English before isn't what you're doing now. And I think that's so important for someone to hear. So if anyone is out there listening and they're like, oh, I don't know what my purpose is and I want to find my purpose, just follow your interest, right? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like what I really want to help people do is just understand themselves and kind of remove all the bullshit. I don't know if I can cuss on here, sorry. But okay, yeah, remove all the bullshit that kind of tells you who you are. And I think astrology really helps you dive deeper into your soul and follow those interests without being, you know, feeling like you can't or feeling like you have to censor yourself or be a certain way because of society.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just let go of all of those layers that tells you who you need to be and start tapping more into who you are in your essence. I love it.
Yes.
So I want to talk to you about the planets. And the reason I want to talk to you about the planets is because obviously the work that I do is very much cycle aligned, like following the ebbs and the flows and the, you know, seasons and the different patterns and rhythms of life. And when I realized that there was different energies of the planets that came in from like Monday to Sunday, I started dressing differently Monday to Sunday. I'm not sure whether I'm not sure whether everyone knows about this, but like, you know, Monday is moon day to wear like cream colored clothes, and Tuesday is very much Mars orientated, so I'll wear a lot of red on that day. But anyway, I would love for you to go through the different energies of the planets, explain a little bit more about what they are and how you can understand a little bit more about yourself with what planet is in your birth chart.
All right. Yeah. So we already kind of talked about the sun, the moon. The rising sign isn't a planet, but it's still super important. And just keeping in mind that planets have multiple layers of meanings in our chart. So it can represent aspects of our personality. It can represent events that will take place in our life. It can represent other people. So there are things in our chart that literally are explaining things about other people that have nothing to do with us. So I just want to kind of point that out, that there's lots of different layers, like I said, to each meaning, but I'm going to go over kind of the basics. So Mercury is another personal planet besides the sun and the moon that has a lot to do with your personality. It's the way that we think, it's the way that we communicate and process information. And Mars is a planet that has a lot to do with our instinctual nature. It really describes how we, I guess, react to, like, our gut reaction to things in a way. It also has a lot to do with our more masculine, sort of aggressive side. And whenever I look at that, I can really see the way that somebody can express anger, can assert themselves. And of course, with people like me, I have like a wounded Mars in my chart. You can see based off of some things that there's a struggle there, and that's, you can kind of see the tendency to be the people pleaser type of person.
Please tell me
don't have a strong
wounded Mars in my chart as well, because
actually, okay, I'll tell it off air.
You can tell me, but yeah, I need to know about this as well. I don't know about that.
So do you want me to tell you now or off of air?
No, you can tell me now.
Okay, I'm pretty certain that your Mars was right next to the sun and your Venus was as well. So just a quick side note, when a planet is right next to the sun's rays tend to blind that planet and make it have a harder time expressing itself. And it can distort the natural meaning of that planet and its function in your life. So you do have a weakened Mars. So there can be kind of like, you know, opposite tendencies with that, or shadow sides coming out with that instead of it expressing itself in its fullness, you know?
I feel that.
So we understand the struggle, but yeah. I mean, all these things are learning opportunities. They're not like life sentences, you know? Yeah. So I just want people to recognize that you have free will and the chart isn't just telling you who you are, but it's mm-hmm. telling you your propensities, and then you have the decision to live in those or act differently and learn and grow from them.
Yeah.
So Venus is the planet of harmony. And this is really where we start to see our ability to relate to other people. Relationships are represented here. And in the man's chart, we oftentimes will see their partner will have the same, like the Venus of whatever sign that's in, their partner will typically have that as a predominant sign in their chart.
Ooh.
So it's kind of like our love language in a way, what we need to feel satisfied in love. And it does have a lot to do with sexuality. People, modern astrologers will say that Mars has a lot to do with sexuality as well. And I see it more as like a dominating kind of instinctual sexuality where you're just taking what you want, where Venus is harmonizing a relationship. So it's like real intimacy. So the sex that we tend to think of nowadays. Mm-hmm. Then Saturn in our chart, just to go back to Venus really quick, Venus and Jupiter are the most beneficial planets typically in our chart. So for people who are born during the nighttime, Venus is going to be the planet that's going to give you the most kind of boost. It's going to give you the most blessings. And for people born during the day, that's Jupiter. So if you're born during the day, the sun will be more prominent in your chart. You'll notice those themes very heavily. Whereas if you're born at night, the moon will be very dominant in your chart and you will notice those themes very heavily. So just to kind of keep those things in mind.
Yeah. Wow.
And then we have Saturn, which is known as a malefic planet. So just like Venus and Jupiter are the best planets, Mars and Saturn are typically the worst planets. And it's not so cut and dry, but generally we see more strife and hardship coming up from these planets because of what they represent. Mars tends to pull people apart, create dissatisfaction, create fights, that type of thing. And Saturn tends to create a divide. So it can create, it's basically like when you draw a line to define something, that line is Saturn. So there is sort of like a division process, not like Mars where you're fighting, but with Saturn, it's kind of like you can feel left out. You can feel different. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, for example, when we have Saturn transiting Venus in our chart, Venus is our ability to feel relationships and harmony and love. Saturn will create a divide. It creates restriction. And so people will tend to feel during that time in their life, like their friendships aren't enough, or they're not having a lot of people around them. They don't have the support that they need. So that's why astrology is so powerful, because it can show you a lot about when something is going to end, when you're going to feel better, and also why you feel that way. So it's so validating of your experience. So yeah, Saturn can be really, sorry, go ahead.
No. When you finish, I'll ask you something else.
So yeah, Saturn can be really restrictive. It can basically cause obstacles or limitations, and it can ask us to work a lot harder for something in our life. So wherever you have Saturn in your chart, whichever house it falls in, which I think I'll talk about later, that area of your life, you're going to have to work a little bit harder. Things might be delayed. But Saturn is a very karmic planet. So whatever we put into it, we tend to get out. So if you are putting in a lot of effort, you will learn a lot. You will grow a lot. You'll become masterful in that area. And you can even teach people about that area because you have done, you know, A to Z steps in order to make it happen. Whereas other people might just be blessed and just kind of get it handed to them. So, And also Saturn has a lot to do with just general commitment. A lot of times, when Saturn transits the seventh house of relationships, that's when people get married or divorced because they're committing to some kind of outcome in their relationship. Whereas before, that wasn't necessarily happening. And then lastly, the other really good planet is Jupiter. So again, this is the best planet for people born during the day. And Jupiter is the planet that pretty much bestows blessings upon us. It gives us opportunities. So whenever you have a positive Jupiter transit, it's like, okay, you're going to get something in your career or in your relationship. You're going to have these good realizations about yourself, and you're just going to feel like your best self. And it really has a lot to do with our higher mind. So it's a very spiritual planet as well. And it also has a lot to do with the way that we expand our own consciousness and can learn a lot about life and about ourselves. Jupiter has this kind of higher perspective that is really powerful in our lives. So those are the main planets. There are a few other outer ones, but yeah, I can go into those maybe in another podcast. But I wanted to talk really quick about Chiron, because I know you mentioned before we started that you wanted that one. So Chiron is an asteroid, and it's a super weird asteroid. It moves very slowly and has this strange irregular orbit. And it's so crazy because it moves so slowly, So like a lot of people in around your age will have Chiron in the same constellation or zodiac sign.
Yeah.
However, I find that it's very powerful in people's charts. So it feels actually very, very personal. And I see this come up a lot with people in terms of health and healing. So Chiron is known as the wounded healer. And basically he's like this centaur guy that gets hurt and he can never heal himself because he was like hurt, wounded by some god who made him unhealable, but then he heals other people and he feels better through that. So it's this weird part of ourselves that is carried over from past lives where we've had probably a really traumatic experience or many experiences over the course of a few lifetimes in some area of our life. And then we have this like deep seated fear and pain around that thing. And I've literally had sessions with people where I mentioned, you know, specifically what that might be for them, and they just start crying. And it's like, Usually it feels unfounded in this lifetime. Like there's not a moment you can necessarily point to. It is very much within our DNA. It's very much carried over through past lifetimes. If you don't believe in that, then in childhood, because yeah, it's just something that runs really deep essentially. And it's kind of hard to like fully recover from, and it's something that we have to work with our whole lives. And then helping other people healing in that way does help us because of the whole story behind it. So I've seen Chiron come up a lot in people who have like physical or mental illnesses, specifically with like certain things happening in the 6th and 12th house. And I've also seen it come up a lot with people I do readings with who are super intuitive, who are healers. So for example, one woman had Chiron right on her ascendant or her rising sign, and she is a psychic and a really big spiritual healer. So it's so beautiful to see this come alive in so many people's charts, because I know that it gives them a lot of these beautiful healing powers. And it also says a lot about what we need to heal as well.
Oh my God. I am literally just like drinking all the astrology juice right now, listening to you. What I found really interesting, what you said, and I didn't know this, was Jupiter shows up more for people who are born in the day, and
Venus.
Venus shows up more for people who are born at night. I didn't know that. So I was born at night. So yeah, I've got more of the Venus, and it's weird because I don't really like, I haven't felt like I've dove really deep into Jupiter yet.
Yeah. Well, there are of course mitigating factors. So if you have a Venus in your chart that is struggling, then Jupiter might be the planet that actually gives you blessings if it's stronger. So that's pretty much using traditional astrology methods to kind of deduce whether or not a planet is strong or, you know, basically in its essence, or if it's like in somebody else's house drunk and talk, you know, kind of a mess. So yeah, that has a lot to do with it too. So, but yeah, I mean, generally Venus is going to be a very positive planet in your life for sure.
And another thing is, so when you were talking about Saturn, I'm sure so many people are interested in knowing more about Saturn's return, because I've heard this over and over again. You're probably bored to the back teeth of talking about Saturn return, to be fair. I know it's a question that you get all the time, but one thing that I just want to highlight is, I knew very little about Saturn return, but I feel like it's come back up in my life since I started studying a bit more of human design as well. And what I discovered was the gate in my human design, which is in my Saturn, is gate 5, which is the gate of patterns and rhythms and cycles. And
oh, that's so cool.
How interesting.
Yeah.
So it's something that it's also in my, it's also in my earth. So I need to be grounded in my patterns, my rhythms and my cycles, which is the whole reason why I feel like I had my whole Saturn return was around my menstrual cycle, that whole breakdown that I experienced because I wasn't in tune with my patterns, rhythms and cycles. So yeah, if you could share a little bit about Saturn return, what this is all about, and maybe a really cool example that you can share with one of your past clients or even yourself.
I actually haven't had my Saturn return yet, but I have had some interesting stories with clients. So every planet has a cycle. And basically what that means is when you take a picture of the sky when you're born and you locate where Saturn is, you're just kind of watching it move all around the zodiac until it returns to that point in the sky where it was when you were born. And so that is when it reaches its return. So yeah, I think because Saturn is one of the slower moving planets, its return has a pretty big impact on us. It happens at around 29 and a half years. And we all know, we can see it and feel it in society. It's like age 30, oh my gosh, like I have to get my shit together. Everyone around me is getting married and having kids and buying a house. And it's that pressure, because Saturn does bring up a lot of fear, does bring up a lot of intense pressure to commit to things, to move forward, to up level, to become an adult. There's a maturation involved. So Saturn has a lot to do with the elderly and the maturation process. So it is a very noticeable shift at that time in our life. And some people it's super noticeable. Other people are like, what's that? Nothing happened around that time. Everything was good. And it really has a lot to do with how Saturn is in your chart. But it also has a lot to do with free will. Like I was saying before, if you've been kind of dicking around and not doing things that are really on purpose for you, Saturn is going to course correct you in a more intense and difficult way. Because as we see with astrology, we always have free will, but if we're not willing to make those choices and those changes on our own, the universe forces us into those changes. And those planets are basically symbolic of when that might happen. So if you can locate the house and the sign that Saturn is in, it can tell you a little bit about what this might be like for you. There is kind of a lot going on to paint that story. So that might not be enough information, but it can kind of give you a clue as to what themes you might deal with at that time. But for example, I've had a client who was in a narcissistic relationship with somebody and living in a certain country and just kind of doing some like office job. And then her Saturn return hit, she moved countries, dumped the boyfriend, found someone she loved that actually treated her well, which was a big theme in her chart. You could see that she had a kind of a propensity to fall into those types of abusive relationships. So she, at her Saturn return, was able to stop that karmic cycle and start a new one and a better one. So that's really what it's about. She changed jobs, found something that she created her own business and found something that was more aligned with her soul, and just her whole life changed. And for some people that will happen, for other people it won't. It again has a lot to do with kind of where you are on your karmic journey and what Saturn is doing in your chart, but it's a big one for sure.
Wow. Yes. It's funny that you say 29 and a half, because mine didn't actually happen until I was 31.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that with these slower moving planets, especially, what's really happening is it's not a moment in time, because it's crossing this point very slowly. So really what's happening is this buildup of a story. So for example, I have Pluto going across my moon right now, and I have been super freaked out about this transit because a lot of people write scary stuff online about it and their personal experiences. So I was scared, but really all the themes that this transit brings, as well as your Saturn return, were building slowly over years. None of it just came out of nowhere. Like, those are more like the fast moving planets triggering an outer planet. Maybe that could bring sudden news and things like that. But none of these are shocks to us, right? It's like, we always sort of knew we needed to make that change. We always sort of knew something was wrong. And I'm sure what was happening to you wasn't just totally out of left field. I mean, it can be, but for the most part, it's not this like moment in time, it's this process. So for some people, they're like, I felt it at age 27. For other people, they felt it after. So it is not, I mean, it's kind of like this window of time rather than this moment.
You're totally right. It didn't just happen out of thin air. It was building up over time, and I was ignoring it, not listening to myself. And yeah, then obviously there was the big shock. So what I would love to know a little bit more about, Courtney, is how you just mentioned actually about the transit that you're going through at the moment when it comes to, I think you said Pluto, but how astrology can affect our relationships, and how we can kind of like take the learnings of that and gear us closer to who we are.
Well, I always feel like astrology is basically a mirror of what's going on. Like, I don't think it causes anything. I think it's just reflecting literally what is going on in our hearts, in our minds, energetically in society. And so it can be a really good tool to kind of get an idea of how you will feel in certain periods of time. So for example, in my last relationship, I had this kind of sudden experience where I was supposed to move in with my ex at the time, or my boyfriend at the time. And I had been kind of moving my stuff in that entire month. And then all of a sudden, the last day when I had moved everything in, he couldn't fall asleep that night. And he turned over and he's like, basically, I don't want you to live here. Like, I'm not ready for this. And I had asked him all, like my gut had told me all throughout the month, like, he's not ready. And I had asked him, he's like, yeah. And then that came to that last moment. And it was pretty devastating to me because it made me question our relationship. It made me question a lot of things just beyond that, you know, moving in. Mm. And I looked at his chart and the transits that were happening, and he had Mars opposite Uranus in his seventh house. So this was a time where he felt the need to be free. He needed liberation. He needed space. And a lot of relationships don't survive a Uranus transit. And it's not that the relationship needs to end. It's just that the dynamic needs to change and there needs to be space in the relationship. And the only way to truly like see and understand that is to either really like listen to your gut and intuition, or have some tool like astrology to show you, oh, this isn't going to last. This is this moment in time, and this is what they need. And can I give this to them? Can I be understanding and not end the relationship because of this need? So it can show you a lot about what you need at the time, what your partner needs at the time. It can show you about your love languages, your style of communication. This is very important. Like, where your Mercury is and how it interacts with their Mercury is so huge, because if you guys have totally different ways of communicating, that is always going to be a struggle, right? I mean, that's just how it is. So if you can at least understand their chart, you can understand them and have more compassion for your differences. So this came up many times in my relationship, where I would see like his way of being and it was totally opposite mine. And I would just hold space for that and not feel like I needed to change that or feel like we needed to be the same person. And just realizing like, that's how it is. And there are always going to be differences in our chart, and we can learn and grow from those differences. And so it's, yeah, it's a really powerful tool in that way.
Wow. Like, can you imagine, for everyone that's listening, if you could just read your partner's chart, like how Courtney did and was able to see that he was going through that transit and needed that space and that time of liberation. I'm absolutely gutted that I don't know John's birth time, his exact birth time. And I've been trying to get this information for like 2.5 years, and his parents don't have it. He doesn't have it. And I'm just like, but I need to know.
Sometimes you can ask the hospital. I don't know how it is in the UK, but.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm just like, I need to know this information. But he gave it to me, and then he was like, oh, I'm not quite sure if that's right. So it's super frustrating, but.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That is frustrating.
But wow. Like, I'm just so inspired by, you know, the experience that you went through, and you being able to have that tool in your back pocket for you to be able to see that it just wasn't the right timing. And again, it's that message of us not listening to our intuition. Why do you think that is, Courtney? Why do you think that we have that nudge and we sometimes ignore what our gut is trying to tell us?
I mean, I don't think it's our fault. I think society has always drilled it into us to follow the rules, to follow the teacher, you know, kind of regurgitate information to get a job and be told what to do. And so we spent our whole lives not developing our own inner authority and respecting external authority. And then when it comes down to it, there can be reasons maybe why we don't want to listen to the intuition, because maybe we like our situation, or maybe we don't want to face the difficulty and the challenge of, you know, starting something new or making a change. And so I think there's always reasons behind why we don't listen to it. And I think it's a muscle like any other muscle in our body. Our brain is a muscle. We work it out by learning, and same thing with our intuition. We work it out by listening to it. And it's crazy how my intuition has grown over the years, just by kind of just the everyday things like, oh, I feel like I should turn left this day, or I feel like I should go down this aisle for parking instead of that one. It's just like the little things. It really helps to develop it over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like after having a session with you at the beginning of the year, like my intuition was getting stronger and stronger, but I really felt like you gave me some sort of permission to really tap into more of my intuitive and my empathic gifts. And some magical things have unfolded since just hearing that type of validation and knowing that it's in my chart as well.
Yes, that's what I see a lot actually, is that people, there are a lot of people who come to me and I see that they have these elements that they could be almost psychic, you know, and they're always like, oh no, not me. Like I never considered myself like that. And I'm like, you have no idea the gifts you're sitting on. It's just the muscle is weak and you just haven't opened your mind up to that potential yet. So there are parts of the chart you can see, especially with trines, where we have natural gifts that we just embody. Trines are an aspect between planets, or like a conversation between planets, and they can kind of represent our natural gifts. Then we have something like sextiles or even squares, which are different types of conversations that require a little bit more attention or development. But if we put energy into that, then we can really step into that. And it's like this, you know, we're opening up this Pandora's box where we can have all these like limitless possibilities for us through these gifts. And so I just like to point that out to people, because I think they really underestimate some of their gifts and talents that maybe they have to just put a little bit more time into.
Absolutely. I massively underestimated my gifts and talents. And when you said about, you know, having psychic abilities as well, like what I've been noticing is in my dreams, I'm getting so many messages in my dreams now, and I'm remembering my dreams so clearly, like they're movies. And I've been kind of like taking the guidance from my dreams and applying them in my day-to-day life.
I love that.
and the things that have been unfolding. Like, I was told to apply for something in a dream, and in the dream I was told that I would get a yes. Apply for it, I did it, and I got a yes.
No way, that's amazing.
It was like a few weeks ago. So,
wow, that's so powerful. I love that story.
Trusting ourselves a lot more, isn't it?
Yes.
So I would love, love, love if you could touch on, I don't know how much you need to go into this, but we've been talking about it a little bit, about the houses.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So this is, again, one of those things that's a little hard to explain when you don't have a visual. So I encourage you guys, if you're not driving a vehicle, to pull up, like just type in astrology chart, and you'll see what appears are, it's basically a circle and divided into 12 pieces of pie. And each of those are called houses. So if we essentially took a picture of the sky when you were born and we divided it into 12 pieces, those would be the houses. So those pertain to an area of life, and it can show you a lot about that area of your life just by seeing what planets fall in that house. So for example, the first house is the house of self, and it has a lot to do with your physical body, your purpose, your personality. And so I have Jupiter and Libra in the first house. So Jupiter, again, gives blessings. Libra is a sign of relationships, and it's in my first house. So I personally feel, and I've been told, that I have like an ability to help people feel comfortable to open up to me, and just easy time making connections. I've moved and traveled a lot, and I always make friends, and it's never really been, socializing has never really been an issue for me. I have other issues, but that's not one. And that's because of this planet here. And you just keep going and looking at the meanings of all the houses. So the second house has a lot to do with our finances and resources, as well as the skills that we develop in order to create those finances. The third house has kind of a lot of different meanings. It has to do with our siblings. So if you have a planet there, it can be representative of your relationship with your siblings, if you have any. It has a lot to do with our communication style and just our conscious mind. So the thoughts that we choose to think and are aware of, as well as early childhood education. So for example, if you have Saturn here, which brings up a lot of fear and blockages in this house, you might've been held back in kindergarten or something like this, right? Mm-hmm. The fourth house is about our home and our family and our roots. This is where a lot of the unconscious patterns tend to develop from our family. So this is very telling about what your childhood was like growing up. If you look at the sign that's right there at the start of the fourth house, that sign can show a lot about maybe how your parents treated you or how you felt growing up in your home. So I've seen people, for example, with Pluto and Saturn here, who have had kind of maybe an abusive childhood or a really challenging childhood with their family growing up, maybe some loss at an early age, things like that. The fifth house is the house of children. It's the house of creativity. And I love the fifth house because it's pretty much like everything that we glorify in life, like drugs, sex, pleasure, gambling, just like all the fun things, you know, where we're just enjoying life, traveling, like vacation, I should say. So if you look at the fifth house and you see what planets or signs are there, it can actually show you a lot about how your children are going to be. So I had a client who had Mars in the fifth house, and her children were extremely active. And I said, put them in swimming because Mars is in Cancer. And this is a sign of a really strong swimmer. And she's like, I'm a strong swimmer. I'm like, well, there you go. That makes sense.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a lot that you can see about other people, like I was saying, in your chart. The sixth house sucks. I'm just kidding. Oh, no, kind of does. It is known as the place of ill health. So this is where, in traditional astrology, there's a lot of illness here. It's also the house of slavery and servitude. So it's really, when I see people having planets here, they're typically working, especially the sun, they're typically working for someone in a company, you know, they're not like the leader. They're kind of like a cog in the machine, not to say it in a negative way, but there is more of this element of working under someone. There's this sense of hierarchy and you being kind of on the lower end of the hierarchy. But I also have seen this come up with people who are in the health industry, because it also has a lot to do with taking care of our physical health. And I see a lot of times this coming up. The sixth house is associated with Virgo. And I do see that association very strongly, because I see people having difficult planets here, having trouble with self-criticism and kind of overthinking things. So if you have like a bunch of planets here, then that's probably something that you could struggle with, is, you know, how you speak to yourself. They also say it has to do with daily routine. So that could this have something to
planet do. I mean, this house is really resonating with me. I'm like, Virgo routines.
Yes. Yes. It. Yeah. For example, I have Saturn in Pisces, which Saturn is all about having structure. Pisces is not about having structure. And then it's in the sixth house of daily routine. And it's funny, because like, as a Capricorn moon, all I want is the structure, but I always struggle to have it, to maintain it. And that's Saturn there in the sixth house. So it's like this constant kind of ebb and flow in my life of trying to always get back on track. So you can just see a lot about literally everything about your life in your chart, which is super cool.
I love
it. The seventh house is like obviously one of the most important ones. This is where you have your relationships come in. So this is marriages. And this is the house of celebration of endings, essentially, but celebrating those endings. It's like a positive end. And it's also the house of one-on-one clients. So if you are doing one-on-one work, you can learn a lot about how you should interact with your clients by looking at planets and signs in that house. The eighth house is the house of death. So it's interesting because, okay, I'm not going to go into this whole explanation, but basically the eighth house is moving towards the seventh, but doesn't want to. It's like living this, it's like has this fear. So it's the house of death, but there's a fear of death, essentially. Wow. So there is a lot of fears and insecurities that are found in this house. I find a lot of karmic energy here. So if you were doing some fucked up stuff in the past life, or maybe you experienced bad things in the past life, they will kind of show up again in the eighth house. So I do past life readings, and this one woman who was psychic is able to see her past lives. And I could see that she had a lot of tragic deaths, early deaths, and she could see the same for herself. She like never fully lived a lifetime. And so you can see that kind of thing happen in the eighth house, like tragedy, hardship. But it goes to the more mundane level as well. A lot of people who are really good at investments have planets here, people who love like big business. I think Kylie Jenner has her son or some important planet in the eighth house, and she has like a massive freaking business. So things like that. It's also very importantly, our intimacy, our ability to be vulnerable with our partner. So if you look at that house and you have some planets like Saturn there, you might have a hard time really opening up and being vulnerable with people. And you might have been burned in the past, you know, maybe a past life, and you kind of have some struggles there. Or you could have a partner that has a lot of debt, because the eighth house has a lot to do with other people's resources. So maybe that person's kind of dragging you down because they don't have a lot of money. So sorry, is it okay that I'm going into this much?
I told you I'm drinking the astrology juice right now, Courtney. Keep going.
Cool. Awesome. So the ninth house is a positive house. So this is where the sun loves to be. This is where we begin to find more of our like religious and spiritual connection, as well as the connection to the world. So you see people who are living abroad with a prominent planet in the ninth house. Like I had my son in the ninth, so I've lived abroad in many different countries. I've traveled abroad. I've dated a bunch of people from abroad, a couple. I haven't dated that many people. And also it has a lot to do with personal development. So people who love to learn about themselves. And a lot of times people with planets here will go on to higher education, like even grad school, things like that, or they will be interested in publishing. So Yeah, the ninth house has a lot to do with the way that we go and expand. It's the energy of Jupiter. So it has this kind of like moral and religious and philosophical nature to it. The 10th house is one of my favorites because it's about our career. This is the way that we are meant to be seen in the world. So it's the most visible house. It's literally where we go and shine. So whatever planets or signs we have here will influence a type of career and the way that we show up in the career, the way that we are seen. So if you have Venus in the 10th and you are working in an organization, people are just naturally going to be like, she's so good at her job. And maybe you're just average, honestly, but other people are going to be like, she's great. You know, like, let's give her a raise. Let's give her the promotion. And you don't have to be this exceptional person, but it's just like the way that you come across and the energy that you have in your career. It's also about our legacy. So the things that we want to leave behind, the larger impact that we want to have on the world. So it can have this spiritual tone to it as well, because it's much more than just us. And then we extend that to the 11th house, where we really go and get the bigger vision of how we are interconnected with the world. This is where a lot of people who have like nonprofits will have prominent planets in the 11th house, because it's where we have humanitarian efforts. It's where we're concerned with the collective, where we want to achieve equality for people. It's also where we begin to establish groups so people can find like-minded individuals. So for example, I just had a reading with somebody who has, it's kind of difficult to explain without going into the whole context, but he has a really important career planet in the 11th house. And so I knew his career would have something to do with that. And he had this energy of a performer coming through with Leo, and he was actually an impersonation singer. So like people who were specifically interested in this singer, all would meet as a group and listen to him perform. So it was like a very literal translation of this type
of thing.
It's crazy. It's how that happens. The 11th house has to do with our friendships as well. So if you have Venus here, you're going to really value and feel connected to your friends. If you have Saturn here or Mars here, you might feel like you have trouble with your friends. And so if you want to kind of get an idea of why it's hard for you to make connections, that could be a house to look to. And lastly, the 12th house is also a very karmic house. This is the most difficult house to even really grasp in our conscious mind, because it's where everything is hidden. So it has a lot to do with things that are externally hidden in the world. So places like prisons, like hospitals, psychiatric wards, all those places that people aren't really allowed into, like hidden places, are there. So when you had a transit to your 12th house, you went into the hospital. So it's very literal. We talked about that during our call.
Yeah.
But it also has a lot to do with the hidden things in our our subconscious. So this is where we have patterns kind of playing themselves out and we don't fully realize it. So a lot of people here with a lot of planets in the 12th house will be more prone to addiction and escapist tendencies because it is a house that is more sensitive and very spiritual in nature. But sometimes when we don't achieve that spirituality, we go for like the worldly version of it, which is kind of escaping our body through, you know, drugs or other kind of physical means. So if you do have planets in the 12th, I want you to really look into them and what they mean, because those planets can sort of be unconsciously driving your life. So they can have, you know, this hold on the steering wheel, and you might not realize that you're making decisions or having thoughts and actions stemming from these planets being here. So I think the more that we can really uncover what the 12th house is and what that looks like for you, the more we're going to have better control over our lives and the karma of our lives. Because as I was saying, there is a lot of karma there. So there's kind of like past life baggage building up there. The 12th and the 8th house and the 6th house a little bit too.
Oh my God. I'm like, okay, I need to have, I don't know if we went into all of my houses, but some of them I remember and some of them I'm like, okay, after this session, I need to just spend some time with you.
Yeah, it goes deep. And there's so many more things you can add to better understand the houses. But I feel like you'll just have to join an astrology course, or I'll be teaching about it in my membership coming up in the next couple of months.
Yeah, which we're going to talk about in a minute, because I feel like everyone that's listening, like, how amazing is this information? Like, everyone who listens to this podcast, I know that you are somewhat on a journey of self-discovery, a journey of coming home to yourself, a journey of remembering who you really are, whether that's aligning with your menstrual cycle, tapping more into human design, working with your energy, or like how I've just brought Courtney on here, understanding more about your astrology chart. And it's a tool that's going to help you tap more into your life purpose and who you really are. I think it's so special how you broke that down in such an easy way to understand for everyone that listened. And I'm not sure whether you're still doing one-to-one readings.
I am.
Yes. Okay, amazing. Everyone, please book a session with Courtney. Like, your whole life is about to change, because I'm not joking. After this session that I had with you, like, I've referenced it so many times since that's I think we had our session on the 5th of January or something like that. And everything that Courtney said about the transits I'd be experiencing, I've already experienced. And some of them have been tough, but I've been prepared for them. And some of them have been absolutely incredible. My whole life has changed. And some information I haven't even shared with some of you guys who are listening yet. But highly recommend you to book a session with Courtney. Courtney, I think we need to do some sort of joint masterclass. Because
yes.
We're surface here. And I know we've spoken about this, but we'll talk about this a bit more. But please, please, please share with everyone a little bit more about your membership and how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, first of all, on the platform to even talk about astrology and to talk about the membership. That is such an honor for me. And I just want to say thank you. So the membership that I plan on starting, or that I am starting, is the North Node Society. And if you know anything about your North Node in astrology, it has a lot to do with your purpose. It is a lot to do with the way that you're meant to grow as a soul and evolve as a soul. It's actually a very deep thing. It's not just like, oh, your purpose, like career. It is so much deeper than that. It's taking into account all of the lives that you lived in the past, all of the ways that you've developed in the past, and all the ways you have yet to develop in order to create a fuller picture of your life. We've all kind of have these certain gifts and abilities, and then other ways in which we're meant to grow. And so what I'm hoping to do in this membership is to really help people find and pursue their purpose, which can be anything in their life. And one way that I facilitate that is through astrology. And I'm not going to tell you guys that you're going to come here, learn, you know, read your chart, and then the next day you're going to know exactly what to do with your life, because it's all a process of uncovering layers of yourself. And there is always an aspect of divine timing. I mean, this is definitely a very spiritual membership, and it's going to be about not only facilitating understanding about yourself, but your connection with divine, with source. And that is really what helps you maintain the higher vision for what you want in your life and not succumb to, you know, self-limiting patterns or self-sabotage or even fear around what you can and can't achieve. So it's basically a membership that will help you find and pursue your purpose. And the pursuing part is really when shit gets real. Like, let's be honest, that's when all of the baggage starts coming up. So it's just a community where we can support one another. I'm going to have some really incredible people come on each month and talk. I was hoping that you would come on one month. That's awesome. And I'll have
the membership. What are you talking about? I'm already in North Node.
That's amazing. I'm so excited. But yeah, so I'll basically just teach you what you absolutely need to know to read your chart. It's not to become an astrologer. I might, you know, add some like more in-depth course later on, but it's what you really need to get a full grasp of it without getting into the nitty-gritty that astrologers will kind of overwhelm you with. I just want it to be something that you can apply. So I'll be having this along with tons of other tools like sound healing, yoga, meditations. I'll be having therapists come on that are amazing and kind of work with you guys through those limiting beliefs and help you guys kind of work with different parts of yourself. So if you've done any work with a therapist, you know that we have parts, like different parts of ourselves. And sometimes those parts can kind of take control and make decisions for us. And at some times in our life that served us, and then they stop serving us and they start limiting us. So we're going to work with all these different kinds of stuff. So I'm really excited. I was planning on launching it in May, but I'm not holding myself to a strict schedule. So we'll kind of see. That it'll either be May or June, hopefully May. So yeah, you can check that out at willowsbloom.com. I mean, there's not any information up there yet, but there will be in the following weeks. And I have a YouTube where I do some new and full moon videos, and they're super long and go through each sign. And those are, I've been told that those are accurate for people. So if you're interested in learning, like, what's going to come up for me this month, I would definitely check those out. And then also I'm sort of on Instagram off and on Willow's Bloom. And I have a podcast as well, which is on pause while I do this membership, but that's the AstroBiz podcast.
Amazing. Courtney, so many things to say of what you just said. The membership sounds incredible. I completely forgot to talk to you about North Nodes, because that's something that I discovered last year, and it's something that I've been fascinated with and shared a little bit with my clients, but I'm not an astrology expert at all. So I would love for you to obviously share more about that. And then what did you just say about, before your podcast? Oh, your YouTube. Your YouTube videos are like on point. They're so, so good. We didn't even touch about the moons. We didn't even talk about the moon in this podcast. So I think we should have another session.
Yes.
Because, you know, obviously this is about periods and power moves, and the moon is such a huge part of your menstrual cycle. But I really wanted us to have like the basics down of astrology. So maybe we can do a part two of this.
And I would love that. Yeah. I mean, the moon is our planet, you guys, as women. So it's so beautiful to track it and to track your cycle. It's very empowering.
Yeah. I let's just schedule a part two. Like, let's just, we'll do this in a couple of weeks.
Let's do it.
I'm sure everyone wants to hear more about that as well. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on. It's been just such a delight. And you know, like when we finished our episode together, when I came on yours and you were like gushing about me, I literally feel the exact same way. Like, it's been one of my favorite episodes to record.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice to meet you guys.
Oh my God. I am so freaking lit up about this right now, because I have a free masterclass for you and you can watch on demand right now. Go to the link in my show notes, watch my free masterclass, and it's called The Power of Your Menstrual Cycle. It's a jam-packed free training that will take you from pain to peace and then onto a journey of unleashing your true creativity and aligned and sustainable productivity that works for you, your unique design, your unique flow and rhythm. It's laced with so much magic and I am so excited to share this with you. Watch it instantly now and tell a friend to tell a friend, and I'll see you very soon. Thank you so much for listening to the Periods and Power Moves podcast with me, Vianney Lee. I enjoy creating these shows for you so, so much. And as a token of my appreciation, I would love to give you a personal shout out. So if you've enjoyed this episode, then come over to Instagram and give me a follow. @statusflow.co is my handle. Drop me a DM, let me know what you thought about this week's episode or the episodes in general, and I would love to give you a personal shout out on the show. So that's @statusflow.co on Instagram, and I'll see you next week.